Now, another point of very great importance is anyone who goes to communion at midnight, if that certain person comes back to Mass later on that day, that person may not receive communion again, only once, that is, whatever Mass you attend, either at midnight or 10 o'clock. So if you go at midnight, you may not receive communion again that day. Friday of this week is the vigil of Thursday of this week is the vigil of Christmas, and therefore it is a day of fast and abstinence. Now I realize that the vigil of Christmas is a very difficult day in which to fast. All I can tell you is do the best you can. Keep the spirit of the fast going, if nothing else. Those who go or who wish to go to communion at midnight should start their fast around 9 o'clock, around about 3 hours before it is time for Mass. There will be no 6 o'clock Mass in this church on Christmas Day. No 6 o'clock Mass on Christmas Day in here, in this church. I think that is all of the things that need to be pointed out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our constancy must be proved at every point, or there is nothing to show that we are constant. Those are rather clear-cut words as we go to practice daily our religious commitment. We are now in the final days of the Advent season, and we are now getting finally ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Holy Redeemer. I stress this word Redeemer advisedly, since you all know that there are those, whoever they may be, who cares, anybody, whoever, is chopping at the notion, or at the dogma that he is our Redeemer. Therefore, with this in mind, let us particularly remember what we are about. What is our purpose? We keep asking ourselves day after day, or time after time, why do you come here? My beloved people, I beg you that your reason for coming here is not an intellectual reason. That would kill the effort. That would kill the value of anything that you do as far as your religion. I am not here because of an argument that I may have had with someone sometime in the past, and therefore that argument did something to me. That argument did nothing for me except stir up my ill will toward whoever. The only reason why I am here, the only reason why I make bold to stand before you, my dearest people and friends, is the grace of God. And we must understand that very clearly, that it is the grace of God that makes it worthwhile, that makes everything we do worthwhile. It is God, and so to speak, no, I won't take that so to speak back, I will. It is the grace of God, indeed, that brings me here. It is the grace of God that has touched me. It is God Himself that has touched me and has touched you to be here. You are not here, I hope, because you simply and no more simply understand, and that you have somehow or other managed to develop an argument that proves something to somebody. There's one reason why you're here, and let that be the only reason why you're here. The reason is because you believe. It's as simple as that. I'm here because the grace of God has touched me, and I believe. And so it goes with all the fathers and the brothers and the sisters that are here. I'm going to ask this time, I like to pick on the men, the fathers of families. I'm going to ask you to take a trip this Christmas. I want to ask you to gather up your family, your families, and I want you to take them to Bethlehem this Christmas. I'm not crazy, but that's what I want you to do. And when you get to Bethlehem, fathers, I want you to have the great courage, the unbelievably great courage, these days and times, to take your spouse and your children and go inside the stable. Don't remain outside and simply look. Anybody can do that, believer or unbeliever alike. You simply must go inside the stable. And there you will find him whom you must adore. And you will find him who is, or what was at the moment, who is the creator of the entire universe in all of its majesty, in all of its greatness, in all of its beauty, in all of its importance, in all of its largeness. The creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, could only find one place in which to be born, in a dirty, secluded shack. Is this that he was at that moment trying to show us martyrdom? Yes, in a matter of speaking. But he also came, he also calls us there and called us there at that time by way of his example. If he, the King of Kings, the creator of all the universe, could bring himself to live in that condition, then are you so much better? Or am I so much better that I would scorn and spurn to go inside that shack and go see him? He came by example. And you have to ask yourself this question. I'll ask myself the question, lest perhaps the finger points. Everything I say makes the finger point to me. Am I so much better than the Lord of Lords that I may not get my feet dirty by walking into the place where he was born? We have dolled it up and make it look pretty. It's lovely. Very clean. And the best that it can do and inspire us is to see, if that's all we're really looking for, is a prettiness about it all. From the moment that Jesus Christ was born to the moment when he said, "It is finished," his life, our example, his life was a complete and total martyrdom. Therefore, again, who am I that I should place myself above him and ask that I not have to go through the same thing? Just who am I? Beloved people, I think we can safely say that we all love him. And that we all reach our hand out to grab hold of his. I think I can say that safely. But precious people, all of you have been in airports lately, I'm sure. And you see these people running around hither and yon. Everybody is pulling on something, dragging their bag and baggage right behind them as they go running through, getting to their destination. Can you picture yourselves, blessed people? Can I picture myself with one hand pulling my bag and baggage and with the other hand reaching out to Jesus Christ? Unless I turn loose, and unless and until I turn loose of this baggage that I'm pulling around behind myself and let it go wherever it wants to go, until I can come to an understanding of just that one fact, and until I can give him not one of my hands, but both of my hands completely and totally, then I deserve the lack of the sense of fulfillment, the lack of sense of rest, the lack of the peace of heaven that I suffer with. Because my attention will be pulled in two directions, holding on to him and pulling baggage. I will have to split in two to be able to do that. That doesn't make sense. The baggage will eventually, whether I want it or not, I will have to turn loose of that baggage. It doesn't matter what's in there. I will have to turn loose of it. And it will go wherever the wind will take it. And I will lose all control, every bit of control over that which once upon a time I said, that belongs to me. It is mine. And the earth under my feet will tell me, if I could just hear it speak, will ask me the question, you want a bet? That belongs to me. And I will keep it. And you can fuss and fret all you want to. It's mine. And it will stay right here with me. And look how much we fight and dig and scrap and everything else just to be able to hold on to that thing, just to be able to keep it filled with my things. Look how much effort we put into that. And the earth under my feet laughs and says, ha, that's mine, not yours. You just got a few minutes worth of use out of it. Now, am I suggesting that you should go home and live like paupers and go out and find yourselves a shack in which to live? I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am suggesting that you put first things first, and that you come, and that we come to a realization of what we are about. And as we enter into that shack in which Jesus was born, might we not hear him say, as we enter, my dear son, you come to see me? That's fine. But I want to ask you one, tell you one thing. Mean what you say, and say what you mean when you talk to me. Many of us talk a pretty streak. Yes, indeed. We're talking, oh yes, but look how one-sided we are. Look at how one-sided I am. Here I am saying, yes, we must reach out, and we must do this, and we must do that, and we must do the other, and our only hope is Jesus Christ, and our only love is Jesus Christ, and our only peace is Jesus Christ. But my left hand is pulling the baggage. Are we crazy? Sometimes I think we are. First things first, as we go about, excuse me, first things first, as we go about life. And we speak so much about love, because at that point, love is predominant, or should be predominant, and should dominate our action. In one of our readings of the bulletin this morning, it says this: any action that is not inspired by love is no more than an empty formality, cold, bleak, and false. I speak, I dare to speak of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I mentioned this once before, and I will say it again, not because the very thought of it is silly, but it would, you could probably reconstruct it. As today our very language has become all discombobulated, that we might go into the crib, or into the stable, or that we might go up to the steeps of Calvary and look at him hanging on the cross and say to him, "Thank you, Lord, I really appreciate what you've done for me." Can we possibly think of him saying, "No problem"? There was a problem, a very big problem, my sin. And because he loved me, and because he loves you, then he went through all of that. And you must gather your family and take them into that little shack. It probably is not more than big enough to hold such a large assemblage. A lean-to thing that held back no weather, full of flies, crawling bugs, worms, vermin. Saint Joseph, could he have picked out, had he tried any harder, one sprig of dry straw in order to form a little bed for the little baby? New mothers can come to very great realization of the import of that question. That's where he came. He, the creator of the universe. We must be constant, as we read earlier, or there is no proof to show that we are constant if we break it. You get these people that are from time to time, you go into, you never know what you're going to go in to meet to, and you meet them hot one day, cold the next, up one day, down the next, friends one day, enemies the next. You never know what you're going to run into when you go into willy-nilly. We must be constant at every point, or we will not be constant at all. In today's world, such as it is, we say this every year, and we hesitate to say, well, it's certainly down to rock bottom. It can't go any lower. It can't do this. It can't do that. And we sit on our hands and wait for something to happen. And do you realize, when we were all bent out of shape, and we all came to midnight mass, and we were expecting the lights to go out, the heat to turn off, and the roof maybe cave in, and the microphone turn off, we waited, and we kept looking at our clocks to see when it was exactly 12 o'clock, because something's going to happen right at 12 o'clock. Do you realize that was 10 years ago? Yes, it was. 1099. And this is 2009. 10 years ago. And we're still waiting. We don't know when it's going to happen. The only thing, again, that we say so often, the only thing that you must be careful about, and I keep pointing at you. Please excuse me, my dear people. This is the way the finger points. I mean it. I'm not trying to be dramatic. Unless and until... If we are anxious about the salvation and protection of all that pertains to us, after we turn loose of the baggage, our biggest chore must be to remain and to live and to be in the state of grace. That's the whole thing. People are calling, the telephone stays busy. The letters come in. You might think a few letters. No, don't say that. Don't think that. I would venture to say that we get 30, 40, 50, 60 letters a day combined with the sisters. People are hungry. People are afraid. They're starving. And we have to give them strength. A little lady, for one that called and talked to me the other day, a widow living by herself, sick with some kind of serious sickness, in an apartment all by herself, terrified. And you have to give consolation and strength. Pray, my dear people, this Christmas, when you do enter that stable, that shack, fall on your knees. If they get soiled, so be it. The Blessed Mother had to lay in that to have her baby. If she had to lay in that in order to have her baby, surely in our majesty, can we kneel in that to adore that baby? Who are we? We are nobodies. Nobodies. So, you say that you're painting an awfully bleak picture. Well, depends upon the picture is the truth. I really think so. The world outside is nothing but baggage. People are running around even yet. While they're in the waiting position, they're going to make the best of it. They have a few pieces of paper in their pocket they call money. They're going to spend it all, go broke, so they can enjoy it another time. And do you realize that since the world was coming to an end in the year 2000, we've done that 10 times? Each Christmas, this is the last one. Let's go broke. Let's go spend it all. But we're still here. I don't know, and you don't either. But I do one thing, know. And that is that I must stay in a perpetual state of grace. And for goodness sake, just because something comes in the mail, in writing, and just because it appears on that thing, you know, the square box that does all kinds of nice things for us, just because it appears on that screen does not mean that that is coming direct as a message from God Himself. That square box is not God. It is merely a square box. And whereas there's a lot of good in that square box, but there's an equal amount, if not a greater amount, of sludge and stench that comes forth from that box. What that box says, I know I've got to quit. I know I've got to quit, or I will not be able to live here much longer. What that box has to tell you, be careful. Analyze. That's what you analyze. You know what you're supposed to do. Even without my telling it, you know. That's what you must do, and you will be happy. I do indeed wish you a merry and holy Christmas. I do indeed pray. And so that you know, every night, some of you know this, every night, I am the Father in this house by the grace of God, whatever. And it is our custom every night that the Father of the house takes a little sprinkle thing and sprinkles the monks and the nuns. Blessed people, trust me. There's a drop of holy water. It comes out of that little sprinkler. And that drop of holy water belongs to one of you. You can count on it. That's every night before we go to bed. From our house to your house. The blessing of God is the only thing that motivates me to be here and dare to talk to you. My blessed and holy people, you are indeed a chosen race. You do indeed belong to a kind of royalty. Because why? Because you are holding on to your belief. And remember one thing, you can only belong to one belief. Please do not try to work with a split personality. It can't be done two different ways. It just cannot. You can only go so far, and after that, you will be left with a pretty bad set of hiccups, because you will not have found what you're really looking for. God Himself alone. Precious people.